Okay, well, it's good to be here with you tonight. If you'd open your Bible to Romans chapter 13. Now, I had in mind to have a different message for you tonight, but the Lord said, or put on my heart, that He wanted me to change and use this message that I have here tonight. And Romans chapter 13, we're only going to be reading verses 11 through to 14. So once you find your place in the Bible, if you'd be upstanding with me, please. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through to 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we want you to bless our time here together. I pray that you will give me clarity of speech and clarity of thought this evening as we look into your word. Lord, we want to meet with you this evening, Lord, and we want to do more for you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so I'm going to give you a bit of a challenge tonight. I was thinking, should I do something else? But I think it might be okay to give you a bit of a challenge tonight. Is that okay? It doesn't matter. I'm going to do this passage anyway, okay? So if we were to do an analysis of the book of Romans, we know it's a book about doctrine or teaching. Okay, for Christians. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, through to chapter 3 and verse 20, it talks about the wrath of God. In chapter 3 and verse 21, through to chapter 8 and verse 39, it talks about the grace of God. And in chapter 9 and verse 1, through to chapter 11 and verse 36, it talks about the plan of God. And now from chapter 12 onwards, chapter 12, verses 1 to 16, it talks about the will of God. Can you discern the time? That's the question I'd ask you tonight. Are you good at discerning the time? Okay? We live in different days, don't we? We live in difficult days when we see things around us that are happening and things are changing all around us. The things that we would call normal are no longer normal in the world today. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul explains about the Christian doctrine. In chapter 12, like I've said, we learn about the responsibilities for every Christian and Christian living. And I mentioned that this morning. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is the plan of God He has for our lives. And we see, should it be different today than what it was yesteryear? We look today and one of the disciples asked the Lord, Lord, when will the end be? And what did he say? As in the days of Noah. As in the days of Noah. And Noah preached. Very few listened. Actually, only he and his family, his three sons and their wives and his own wife, we don't know her name, Mrs. Noah, but they all entered into the ark and they were the only ones that were saved. But we live in an age where people don't want to listen to God, but that doesn't mean that we don't have the responsibility to share about the Lord Jesus Christ with them. In chapter 13, we see here, it starts with our need to submit to those in authority. Now, sometimes we don't look It doesn't please us to do that. Sometimes we think, hey, these guys that are making decisions, all these politicians and people that are making the decisions that affect our lives, do we have to submit to them? Yes, we do. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this passage of Scripture, inspired by the Word of God, because it is the Word of God, within the next 10 years or so, when he wrote, penned these words, possibly under Nero's rule, he would be executed. And here, what is he telling us? Submit yourselves unto authorities. Many Christians today are worried about what's happening in the world today. When I was over in Romania, before I left Romania, and we had the war on our border, okay, where we were, we're on the southwest of Romania, and up until diagonally, opposite from us, was about 1,100 kilometers away, and that's the Ukraine up there. If I was to go straight up from where we were, it was only 700 kilometers. If we went straight up and diagonally across near Odessa and the country of Moldova, we were about 1,100 kilometers away. And people were coming to me and they said, oh, Brother Billy, what's going to happen? They're very worried about what, and they're concerned about the world today. They're concerned about wars. They're concerned about financial crisis. They're worried about who will launch the nuclear weapons. And a couple of weeks ago, Putin said, we are considering that we might have to use nuclear weapons. But let us not forget who sits on the throne. Let us not worry about these things. People are worried about, will he push that button for nuclear weapons? Will China attack Taiwan? Will the dictator in North Korea, will he go mad and do something and push some buttons? It's all what if, what if, what if. But they haven't thought about, and even Christians haven't thought about, when, not if, but when will God sound that golden trumpet? When will he say, enough is enough, and the rapture will happen, and he will sound that golden trumpet, and he will call us all up? Let us look at our text today, or tonight. And it's just an excerpt out of chapter 13. And we beginning in verse 11. And knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Many children today can't tell the digital clock. We had problems in Romania. Okay? We got them they can tell the digital clock, sorry. Reverse. You got them a wristwatch or a clock on the wall, and they looked at it, and no. What time is it? What time is it? You know, it's 6, we would say it's 6:25. Can you tell me, can you look at the clock? No, there has to be digital. But you know what happens today, and unfortunately, many Christians cannot read God's clock, God's program. They're worried about things that are happening around them, and we see changes happening around them. Around us. There's no problem with that. We see these changes. But God is still on the throne. He's still in control. Can we read God's spiritual clock? Now, when Paul wrote this, this was some 2,000 years ago. Can we discern the time? And knowing the time means a certain time. Okay? It's a certain time. It's certainly, it's a certain event that's coming. The time is known. The word used here in the Greek is not the normal word for time. The normal word for time in Greek is chronos, where we get chronometric, dating, etc. It's not that word that's used. It's kairos. A limited, critical time, like we observe the weather. It's a limited time. It's a critical time. Look with me in Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. Just to get a bit of an idea. I've only got a new Bible in the last few months, and I'm still trying to get used to it, you know. They put them in different places. You know, you get another Bible and things are in different places. So excuse me. Chapter 2 and verse 17. And it tells us, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." We're talking about this is to come, okay? It's not yet. Okay? It's the last days. It's the quality of time. You know, one day the Lord will say, "It's enough of the church age." And that could be, that's imminent. At any moment. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. We don't know when that's going to happen. There is nothing stopping God from blowing that trumpet and saying, "All you believers, true believers that are upon the face of the earth, come up here. Where we will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air." And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us about that. One day God will say, "Enough is enough." But are we in tune with God? You know, on the day that you got saved, and the day you prayed that prayer, and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your own personal Savior, when you opened your eyes, you were still here. Isn't that amazing? Why?
Because it's not time yet.
It's not time yet. We are supposed to be salt and light. And you know, the world needs salt and light today. The world is looking for people that are active for the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't any easier in Paul's day than it is today. Remember Paul's normal MO? Remember what it was? Went to a town or a village, went in there, straight to the synagogue. Okay? Preached in there, argued with them, debated about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the Savior. Normally got thrown outside, and then he'd leave them and go down the road. That was normal. But where did he go first? To his own people. They needed to know about the God, the Creator, and Jesus Christ, His Son, the incarnate God who came into this world and died for us. In the next few months, in a very short time, not even months, we'll think about Easter time. The birth, death, and what? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can talk to people about from other religions, and they say, "I've got my own religion." You know that. And you can talk to people that believe in Muhammad or Islam or any other thing. It doesn't matter what it is. I remember one day I was out with another guy. We were door knocking from the church. And in the front yard, they had a big Buddha. And they had a big tarpaulin over Buddha. And they had a big rope around him and everything like that. And so I went to the door, and I knocked on the door, and I said, "We're from the local Baptist church." Introduced myself and the fellow that was with me, and we said, "Well, what's with the big guy at the front?" And they said, "Oh, that's Buddha. We're Buddhists." And I said, "But why is he covered up?" He said, "Because he's got cracks, and we have to do some repairs." And I says, "We have to do some repairs." And I said, "Well, my God, he's the one that covers us. We don't have to do any repairs on us, on him. He's in our hearts. We don't have to worship him. We don't have to make models of him. We don't have to get down on our knees. And God, our God protects us. We don't have to cover him up with a tarpaulin." And here in the day that we're living in, it's high time. Okay, like Paul, it was a struggle, it was difficulties he had to go through, and you'll talk to people and they'll turn their backs on you and they'll ridicule you. I've had that in Romania, people ridicule you, make fun of you. That's okay. There was others that were coming to Christ. My son-in-law sent me a picture about 5 weeks ago. And he sent me a little picture and he said, "We had youth tonight on Friday night. And I want to send you a picture of the four youth that came forward for salvation." So he sent me a picture of these young guys, 15, 16. And they're coming to church every service. Okay? They're coming to church. And another young guy that had grown up with us through Kids Club, since he was about 6 or 7 or something like that, came up, and he's about 16, 17 now. He brought them along. See, God is still working. He's still got people there that are looking for salvation. So let us get back to our text. And it's not the normal word, like I said, for time. It's a special time when the Lord will say, enough is enough. It's the end of the church age, and I will begin my program that will go into all eternity. It's the quality of time. It's high time, awake out of sleep. I like this. And knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. Many years ago, many, many years ago, Annette and I, my wife, we've been married 43 years. We celebrated our 43rd wedding anniversary in February there. But when we first met, she was a country girl, came down to the city in Sydney to do her nursing training. And she was on different shifts. And I was working at a company that made spark plugs, Champion Spark Plugs. That's where I was working during the day. And many times I didn't see her for a few days in a row. And we were in love, okay? And then within the next year, we were going to get married. And many times I'd say, what shift are you working this week? Oh, I'm on lates. And I don't finish until midnight. So, oh, no. And we discovered right in Sydney, right in the Rocks, you probably don't know Sydney at all, right in the Rocks area, there was this new restaurant that opened that was 24 hours a day. It was called Pancakes on the Rocks. And for us, that was a great place because I'd meet Annette at midnight. I'd pick her up at midnight. I had to work the next day, by the way. I'd pick her up at midnight. We'd just go into town. We'd have some pancakes with maple syrup all over them and a cup of coffee, and it was fantastic. And then I'd just take her straight back to nurse's home because she had to have a rest and work the next day and et cetera, et cetera. And I'd get home at about 4:30 in the morning. And I just put my head down on the pillow, what it seemed like I just put my head down on the pillow. And the next day, my dad would barge into the room, Billy, what are you doing? Get up! He'd say, wake up! And this is what this word is. Wake up, it's high time, wake up. And you know what the word in Greek is here? It's hypnos. Does that sound familiar, doesn't it? Hypnotic. We've gone to sleep. Hello? Anybody there? Like my dad said, Billy, get up. And he'd have to come back about 3 times. And Billy, get up. I'd only been in bed for about 1.5 hours. And it felt like 5 minutes. Not even that. It was like I just put my head down and all of a sudden this crazy man wants me to get up. Wake up. It's time to go. Let's get with it. And Paul's saying, it's high time. It's high time to awake out of sleep. We're talking spiritually here. We're not talking about physically. We're talking about spiritually. And this is 2,000 years ago. You know, over the years, in the 1700s, 1800s, the church was very active, wasn't it? There was things going on in the world. The world was being, like the apostle, talked about the apostle Paul and the men that worked with him. Silas, etc. These are the men that turned the world upside down. And people say, oh, you won't get thousands coming. Like when Peter preached that on the day of Pentecost, you're not going to get thousands coming to salvation. But what about the ones and the twos? Okay. I'm reading a little book at the moment at home, and it's called One, W-O-N, by One. O-N-E. One by one. And that's where we can get plugged in. One by one. Many years ago, I used to work on a turkey farm. Okay? And the guys used to ridicule me there. Oh, here comes Billy. Oh, we'll have a religious conversation today. I'm using their terminology, okay? Let's have a religious conversation today about things and what Billy's ideas are. There's about 7 or 8 guys and they'd be ridiculing me and everything. And I said, well, do you want to know about salvation? How you can know for sure you can go into heaven? And one of the guys said, yeah, we want to know. Some of the other guys were mocking. But I started to explain that how to know Jesus Christ and to call on Him to repent of your sin and what you had to do, why we were in the situation that we were in the world, and they were stuck with me. Okay, Pastor knows I talk a lot, okay? But they were stuck with me for a few hours. We were inoculating the turkeys because they have lots of sicknesses and you have to keep on control and keep on top of them. So I was working on them and I explained it to them and it went very, very quiet. And one of these guys, he was a bit timid. He was a big guy, he was in his 40s or something. He was a bit timid and reserved sort of thing. And then after I finished my little presentation, so to speak, the other guy started to mock me. And this other guy said, "Excuse me, woe unto us. We are in serious trouble. If the things that Billy has told us are the truth, we are in serious trouble with God. So don't make fun of him. Because if it comes at the end of time and he was right and we were sitting here mocking and we didn't take this warning seriously, we are in serious trouble with God." And I just stood there dumbfounded. This guy had given the right answer. And what he had said was 100% correct. So it's high time for us to wake out of sleep. No, I don't want to give you a hard time to think that guy's nasty and he's come over here and he's given us a hard time. I just want to remind you what Paul was saying. You might not see the thousands coming, but you can talk one-on-one. You can share your faith with people. You know, people, you meet somebody and somebody's a car nut. He's really crazy about cars. He doesn't mind telling you about his HJS, Monaro, or GTS, or whatever, or GT Ho Ford, or whatever it is, 351, and all the rest of them. He goes nuts and he starts talking about this thing. He's in love with the car, a big lump of metal. How much are in love are you with Jesus? Okay? If he changed your life, if he set you free, if he picked you up out of the miry clay and put you on that solid rock, can we not talk about him? I'm just asking. So here the Apostle Paul says, awake. Wake up. Move it. You know what one of the biggest dangers today? Apathy. I'm sure God doesn't like that word, apathy. You know, that's one thing we find near the church of Moldova Noah. When we go around, you talk to somebody and they say, "I'm not interested. Could be right. Doesn't matter. Not interested." I don't think God likes that. And I think we as Christians need to be reminded that we need to be about our Father's business. There must be an urgency about it. In Isaiah chapter 52, I'm just going to read the first part of the verse. Verse 1, it says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength. O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments." Many years ago, I heard a famous preacher preach from this text. And he said that many Christians are sleeping spiritually. They are in a big bed, a spiritual bed, okay, not in a physical big bed, okay? And when you disturb them, they say, "Leave me alone, don't disturb me, I'm comfortable." God didn't put us here to be comfortable, okay? I like to have a comfortable bed. I like to drive a comfortable car, okay? That's okay. But we're not here to be comfortable, okay? This isn't our place of rest. Remember Abraham, he looked for a home that was not built with hands. Remember he looked to that city. He had his eyes focused on God. He wasn't worried about in the world where he was living. He had his eyes focused. You remember when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees? If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I hope this is making some sort of sense. Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus is conversing with the Pharisees here. And verses 1 to 4. "And the Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came to him, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And when in the morning, it will be foul weather, for today the sky is red and lowering. And, O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. So they could, the Pharisees could discern the times. They were farmers. They could look up in the sky and say, oh, it's going to be a great day tomorrow. Beautiful and sunny, no rain, everything's going to be sorted. But spiritually, the Lord, the creator of heaven, God incarnate himself, was talking to them, and they didn't know that he was the Messiah. The one that all the prophets had spoken about, they couldn't discern that it was him that was speaking with them. One day the final part is about to be put in motion. The final part of our salvation, we're saved by faith, we know at the end of the verse here, for now is our salvation nearer than when it was before. On the day that you got saved and the years roll on, that's physically, we're getting towards the end, aren't we? Physically, it's working that way. You either get called up or you get called out. You get called out or you check out. You understand? Okay? You either get called up in the rapture, or at the end of your life, you go into the presence of the Lord. When we are saved, God the Father left a deposit. And we know what that deposit is, the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit is living in you, and it's living in me. If you're saved here tonight and you know Jesus Christ as Savior, the same Spirit is upon you. The same Spirit is upon you that was in Paul and Peter and all the other apostles. And we really seriously need to be reminded that time is running out. One day the transaction will be complete. At the rapture or upon the day of our death. Remember, you were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us you were bought with a price. What's that price? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I looked down my life before I got saved, even after I got saved, and you look there, what sort of a list would be there, and how long would this list be? I think it'd be longer than this building, of all the things I've done wrong in my life, all the sins that I've committed in my life, all under the blood. We've been bought with a price. And it tells us in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Time is running out. We know that as time passes that our salvation is getting closer. But in the context, God's program will soon be in motion. In our text, we notice three commands. I could say three commands. Is to wake up, put off certain things, and we're to put on something. We'll come to that in a minute. Put off, in verse 12 and 13, it tells us to put off whatever things that are not becoming, that are not a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that are not correct for the believer. Now, we're not going to go into all this list here and explain it away. We're going to go positive rather than negative. Okay? The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in the chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. So we're to put off all these things. We're to be refocused as believers. We're to be in tune with God. We're to use some spiritual discernment. Turn with me to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. and verses 10 to 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. There's global warming for you. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? It's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. This happens later on, we know that, okay? We've got 1,007 years for this to happen. At least. Or it could be today we get raptured. And then God's program comes in of 1,007 years, okay? But what manner of persons ought we to be? How should we live? Have you heard of Francis Schaeffer? Many years ago he did some beautiful work. And one of his titles of his work that he did is, How Shall We Then Live? We're in the world, but not of the world. We're to be a testimony drawing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not going to spend time here in negative thoughts, but we're going to think, how should we be living? How do you make a difference by being different? When people look at you, do they say, that guy's got something and I'm attracted to it? That the young lady's got something and it attracts me. She's got a peace in her life. She's got a joy in her life. What is it? Because I don't have it. You know, they did a survey in Australia last year, and you know what most people are looking for? Forget all the millions of dollars and all the rest of it. You know what people are looking for? Love. People are looking for true love. And when we want to share the Bible with them, you can't get any truer love than this one. Than a man would lay down his life for his friends. That Jesus Christ came into the world and he died for you and for me. That the God of heaven came willingly into this world and he knew the path that was before him and he still came into this world and he died for us. People are looking for love. He said, God is love. I want to show you from the Bible the love of God that he has for you. I want to share that with you. And you know, people are really strange. We're a very strange people. People are very strange. They said, I know, but I want a sort of love. I want love, but not this Bible love. But this is true love. And some people don't know what they want. They're looking for love. Young people, they meet another person over the... Well, it's hard to say these days. They meet another person. And it's to make them feel good. Okay? To satisfy them, to make them feel good. And when they don't do this anymore, they... Like taking off a dirty shirt and they put on another shirt, they're looking for someone else. A few years ago in camp, we had a camp for young people in Romania, and the following week we decided we'd have junior camp. And that's for kids that come to kids club from about year 7 up to about 13. Youth camp we do from 14 years up. Okay? So most of the kids that came, there was a group of about 7 teenage girls that came, all from our kids' club. And I was explaining to the young girls that later you will find a young man who tells you he loves you. But what does that mean? Does he really, really love you, or does he not want something from you? That's not true love. That's true lust. Okay? Nothing to do with love. But here in the Bible, we have the answer. So them young girls, I made some examples, and I said some things, and they laughed. And I said, you young ladies, protect yourselves from, in the next coming while, you're going to be 14 and 15, and you protect yourselves, and don't let some boy come along and say he loves you, and he doesn't love you, he's going to use you, and he'll throw you out and toss you aside. And they all laughed. Brother Billy, Pastor, we'll never do that. You know what the sad thing was? The following year, they'd all done it. Some of them were part gypsy. And you know what happens over there in Romania? When a girl gets to about 15, a man comes along, he could be 27, 28, and he goes and sees Dad. And said, Dad, can I have one of your girls? I need a girl. Can she come over and live with me? No problem. So the dad gives his 15-year-old girl. She goes and checks up. You understand that terminology, okay? She checks up with the guy who's nearly twice her age, and it's all okay. It's accepted. And you know, these girls, most of them did that. But here, getting back to our text again, what sort of people ought we to be? We're to be light in the world. We're to share with these people. We're to challenge people. We're to show them the path. And Jesus is the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Philippians chapter 4, and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to realize that the time we're in. We're in the last days. I really believe that in the last days. Now, I'm not going to prophesy and give you the time and date. Many false religions have already done that. Time has come, time has gone, and we're still here. We need to refocus and be vessels ready for the Master's use. That's why we're here. Your job, my job, is to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to utilize the time that we have available to us. I like what it says about Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Enoch, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Crisp, direct to the point, he pleased God. What a great testimony. That God was so pleased with him, he gave him a promotion and took him up to heaven with him. Okay? Do we please God or please self? Remember this morning that little thing I told you about Jim Berg? Two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Okay? Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Are we clean vessels for God? Getting back to our text again. In Romans chapter 13. The night is far spent. There's been a lot of water run under the bridge lately, hasn't it? Let us put on the armor of God and the armor of light. And we know in Ephesians chapter 5. I'll just read a few verses. Chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are the light in the Lord. Let walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Remember, we were in darkness once. Remember the day you got saved? I can remember the day I got saved. I was so excited. I got saved. When we finished the camp, we were out in the middle of the countryside. We're about, I think it was about 25 kilometers from to get back to home. the men that were organizing everything with the transport and everything, they came to me and they said, okay, Billy and other guys, get ready. We're getting in the car. We're going back home. I said, I want to walk. And another young guy, a friend of mine, he said, I'll walk and we'll walk home together. You know, it's only 25 kilometers, only just down the road. You know? So we walked home. It took us hours to walk home. But I had a new song in my heart. I can't explain it to you. I went that week to play up and cause trouble at camp, and I did at the start of the week. I told Pastor about that. We haven't got time to explain that tonight. It's a different story all of its own. But I went there to play up and to cause trouble and havoc during the week at camp. And I left with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to walk home from camp. And I walked along the street. If someone had saw me, maybe they did. This guy's walking along the street singing. It's the street, 25 kilometers long. I walked through the country, along the roads, up and down, until I got back home. It was no problem. I was walking along singing. When I went to work, I was working as an apprentice plumber. When I left home, I'd walk to work singing spiritual songs and hymns. I was bubbling on the inside. Can you remember that? Wouldn't it be good for someone else to have that feeling inside and know their life is in the Father? That they know Jesus Christ the Savior? Wouldn't it be good for that to happen? Well, that's why we're here. And you might say, oh, it's too hard. It's never been too easy. It's always been hard. Verse 14 in our text. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on Christ. You know when you put on Christ, he's a perfect fit. You know? Well, sometimes when I go to buy, if I go to buy a jacket or something, I put it on and it doesn't quite fit properly. My stomach muscles are too big at the front. Okay? But when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, for you, he is a perfect fit in your life. Serve him, live to please him. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. I've probably gone over time, I'm sorry. We're nearly there. Galatians 3 and verse 27. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He's a perfect fit. The closer you walk to Christ, the less attractive you will be to sin, or attracted you will be to sin. How does it say resist the devil and he will flee from you? How do you do that? You're focused on God. How do you resist? You can't do it in your strength. You can never do it in your strength. You're not strong enough. He's a powerful foe. But if you're so focused on God, he's going to flee from you. In Romans 8, 29, we know God's plan. To be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the plan that God has for us. So we're to wake up. We're to put off all things that are not pleasing to Christ. And we are to put on Christ. We're to read the spiritual clock at this point of time that we're in. And we're to use discernment when we read God's clock. Don't be worried about what's happening in the world. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Anytime you think like you're going to do something, say, hold on a minute, why am I here? What's the program? Wouldn't it be great to be in the rapture? I'd love to be part of the rapture. Wouldn't it be great to be called up? And why does God, he's not willing that any should perish? Why is he lingering, or men think he's lingering? Why is he waiting so long? I mean, it's been 2,000 years. What's gone on? He's not willing that any should perish. And that's what it's all about. And I think we need to get in tune with God's clock and what God has for us to do. And let's be about our Master's business. Amen.